Black, queer, rising. Here at The Takeaway, we're marking February with a reminder that queer history is Black history. The organizing genius of Bayard Rustin, the unflinching critique of James Baldwin, the plays of Lorraine Hansberry, the poetry of Audre Lorde, and the choreography of Alvin Ailey, the courage of Marsha P. Johnson, and the strategy of Barbara Jordan. Black, queer, rising. In politics, activism, science, sport, and culture, Black queer changemakers are challenging injustice, breaking through barriers, and forging new pathways. All month long on The Takeaway, we're going to be bringing you these stories rooted in Black queer history and forging Black queer futures. Our first changemaker is Andrea Jenkins. In 2017, she became the first Black openly trans woman elected to public office in the U.S. And this year, she once again made history when she became city council president in Minneapolis. Andrea Jenkins has been blazing trails for decades as a poet, writer, activist, artist, and above all, a humanitarian and a beacon of light within the Black transgender community. I sat down with Andrea and I asked her how growing up in Chicago informed the activist and the public official she is today in Minneapolis.
It totally informs who I am today. You know, I grew up around the corner from where Fred Hampton was shot. I worked on Harold Washington's campaign. You know, one of my early mentors in high school was a poet named Haki Madhubuti, who is an institution builder in Chicago. And so I grew up with, in North Lawndale is straight hood, Melissa. There's no other way to describe it. It is all of the challenges that we know inner city communities face all over the country are present in North Lawndale. You know, the liquor store, the church, down the street from the jail. But also there's this rich, strong resistance in Chicago, this Black nationalist spirit, this political spirit that I think has shaped who I am today. You know, it's interesting. I think about Barack Obama, and we're this exact same age, but I left Chicago when he came to Chicago. I left to come to go to college here. And, you know, I see some similarities in how Chicago has impacted him and has impacted me. I've always been willing to stand up for justice and to organize communities for righteousness. So, yeah, Chicago and that experience had a really, really significant impact on me. And I'll share just a little bit more about that. So my grandparents lived in a community called Chatham on the south side of Chicago.
Yes, Chatham. Yes.
And so I was at my grandmother's house every weekend, right? Like that's how we grew up, right? And so Chatham is where you had middle class, homeowner class families. All the professional Black athletes lived in the community, businessmen. So I experienced all of Chicago from the deep poverty to the sort of striving middle class Black Chicago. And that has deeply informed my my life. Yeah.
Yeah. When you talk about Chatham, that is like, that's like aspirational Black middle class, you know, community in such a crucial way, just literally holds such a position within the whole history of the migration and everything else.
It really does. I literally cried when I read The Warmth of Other Suns because it's my story. It's the story of my family that came from the Deep South, Alabama. And, you know, we started on the West Side and then migrated to the South Side. So it's a truly American story, Black American story.
So you talk about institution building, but I will say the first time that you and I sat down for a conversation, I was like, oh, Andrea Jenkins is an institution. I mean, perhaps you are building, but we were together in a group of all Black trans women. You all had been doing work together over the course of, I think, an entire year, right?
An entire year, yes.
Yeah, and I just was so honored to come and have a conversation with you. But that sense of like, oh no, I don't think y'all understand. This right here is Andrea Jenkins. And so talk to me a bit about that, about institution building and being institution, right? In not only community that is Black West Side, Black South Side, Chicago, and now we'll get to Minneapolis, but also what you meant to, I mean, these were some young women, you know, some in their 20s who were living in the U.S. South, right? Or in very other kinds of places, but we're nonetheless looking to an experience that you had trailblazed as a Black trans woman. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that institution building as well.
Sure. Yeah, that was a leadership development program sponsored by Auburn Seminary. And it's called the Sojourner Truth Leadership Development Program. And it was a cohort of like 12 Black trans women, as you mentioned, from all over the United States, but a large proportion of the women were from the South. And I'm just so deeply proud of that experience because so many of the women have gone on to literally build institutions. And so the Marsha P. Johnson Institute is what it's called, was developed out of that. Raquel Willis is becoming a Melissa Harris Perry in the making. a journalist.
No, she is her own force of nature.
Yes, yes, truly she is. And so I think that experience helped to pull these young women out of that sort of victimhood status that a lot of trans and gender nonconforming people find themselves in, and really say, okay, how do we build ourselves for the future? Black Pearl, Black girl, hiding behind the body of a little boy. You knew you were different from the start. Deep in your heart, you would always stand apart from those who were normal.
That was Andrea Jenkins with her poem, Black Pearl, from her book, The T is Not Silent. I asked Andrea what it means to be an elected representative and how she made the decision to run for public office in the first place.
I do want to just acknowledge the tremendous feeling of voting for oneself. It's unlike anything you can imagine, Melissa. And, you know, my mother lives two blocks from me. And so I got to take my mother to the polls and we both voted for me. And that
was. Are you sure she voted for you?
Well, I think she did. She says she did, and she says she's really proud of me, so I think she did.
You know, mamas, sometimes they can be hard.
Sometimes they can be harsh. But, you know, I will say this last election, I got 86% of all the people who showed up to vote voted for me. And so I think my mom did. I don't think she was in that 14%. But I came to run for office, honestly, for a long time because of the things that you mentioned, the arrows, the bullets, the stones and rocks that you have to endure in public life had really kept me from thinking that I would ever run for public office. And in 2016, my council member that was representing the area and a good friend of mine, and actually was my former boss, decided that she was no longer going to run. And after three terms, she was going to, you know, do something else. So it was an open seat. And then, which rarely happens in politics. And then this orange nightmare got elected. And, you know, Melissa, the first essay I wrote after the election was, "Our democracy is in perilous trouble." Now everybody's saying it, right? But like literally that November, I wrote an essay and it got published. And so when that election happened, I said to myself, if we're going to go to hell in a burning bus, I want to be driving it, you know? So that was kind of the impetus. Plus, Minneapolis is a city, is almost a tale of two cities. There is this tremendous amount of wealth and just quality of life for our white Minneapolitans, some of the highest incomes in the country. Home ownership is over 80% in Minneapolis, but the exact opposite is true for Black Americans in this city. And, equity was one of the main reasons that I wanted to try and create some level of change, create some institutional changes. So, we're working on a Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Minneapolis. We declared racism as a public health crisis to create the sort of environment for us to begin to address and undo racism in our city and in our city structure. And that part of that comes from my growing up in Chicago, like in the 60s and 70s, Haki Madhubuti, who was one of the founders of the Black arts movement. You know, the message was Black people have a responsibility to stand up and fight for justice. I always remember the statement, to whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. That has kind of been my motto. And, you know, I had the good fortune to go to college, to get a college education and to be in these spaces where decisions and power was being granted and made about our communities. And so even with all the vitriol and hatred that comes with being in public office, it is an honorable job. It's an honorable way to try to help build our communities. And as a Black trans woman, who also is a sex educator, like I am the very person that these people are trying to ban all over the country.
We'll call it the Andrea Jenkins ban on Don't Be That.
Right, exactly. And so, I wanted to just stand up and say, hey, this is the antithesis of that.
My very last question for you is this. This is a series we're going to be doing throughout the month of February, and we're calling it Black Queer Rising. And so I'm going to ask every guest who we have in these segments the same question, which is when you hear Black Queer Rising, those three words together or separate, what does it mean to you? What does that evoke for you?
Black Queer Rising evokes Andrea Jenkins is the Minneapolis City Council president. And I don't say that like conceitedly or facetiously. Like Black Queer Rising is what brought me to this place today. Black Queer Rising was the impetus for Stonewall Revolution. Black Queer Rising was the initiation of the Black Lives Matters movement. Black Queer Rising was in the leadership and the forefront of the protest marches against George Floyd. And so when, when Dave Chappelle tried to write off Black trans women, I don't know if he recognized the contributions that Black trans women have made to the equality, the equity, the racial injustices that he speaks about in his act. The equivalent of saying I'm team turf is like saying I'm team KKK. And yeah, Black Queer Rising, it just makes me feel amazing. Black Queer Rising, Bayard Rustin, James Baldwin, you know, Barbara Jordan, the list can go on and on and on, Melissa. Black queer rising is Black history, is American history, and we're going to keep rising.
Andrea Jenkins is the City Council President of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thank you for joining The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.